WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
In the 19th century, Edgar Allan Poe's poem The Raven was so popular there was a slew of parodies, even one called The Turkey, with a line you might want to recite at your Thanksgiving dinner, "Quoth the turkey, nevermore." This information comes from a new biography of Poe by Kenneth Silverman. Silverman won the Pulitzer Prize in 1984 for his biography The Life and Times of Cotton Mather. The new Poe book is subtitled Mournful and Never-Ending Remembrance. Critic Maureen Corrigan says this biography is as haunting as some of Poe's own writing.
Here are a couple of items to add to your Thanksgiving list of things to be thankful for. Item one is Kenneth Silverman's mesmerizing new biography of Edgar Allan Poe. This is the first study of Poe that neither demonizes nor idealizes him. Instead, Silverman introduces us to the man family members called Eddie, a gloomy fellow who couldn't hold his liquor, who envied and plagiarized other writers, and who produced some of the most brilliant, disturbing fiction ever conceived. The second thing to be thankful for is that you're not Edgar Allan Poe. According to Silverman's account, Poe's life was 40 years of unrelenting misery. Poe was born in 1809 to a pair of actors. His father disappeared shortly after his birth. His more famous mother, Eliza, died when she was only 24 and Poe was 2. Poe was taken in by a childless couple, John and Fanny Allen, but they never adopted him. As he was growing up, Poe never knew where he stood with the Allens. He found out in his early 20s when Mrs. Allen died and Mr. Allen disowned him. Like Jerry Lee Lewis, Poe married his 13-year-old cousin, but theirs was no great balls of fire passion. In fact, Silverman suggests the marriage to Virginia Clemm may never have been consummated. Poe does seem to have had an aversion to physical love. If you think about it, none of the women in his works are beautiful, sexy, and alive. Over the next two decades, Poe struggled to become a literary phenomenon. His writing brought him fame, but little money. He sold his great poem, Ligeia, to one magazine for $10. And Poe picked fights with influential contemporaries like Longfellow, who might have helped him. When his wife Virginia died at age 25, Poe became unhinged. In a frenzy, he started courting 4 women simultaneously. He was returning from a visit to one wealthy southern widow when he collapsed in Baltimore and died, maybe from encephalitis, maybe from the DTs. No wonder Poe once said of himself that he was not, by nature, of the merry mood. Poe's psychological tales of horror seem to me so modern that I always tend to forget how early in the history of American literature he was. But Silverman sets Poe squarely in his times. He shows, for instance, how the popularity of lurid crime stories in penny newspapers influenced Poe's invention of the detective tale. Silverman is also a sensitive interpreter of Poe's writing. He argues that Poe's childhood denial of his mother's death may account for the strange cluster of dead-alive characters in his poems and stories. Silverman says that the continuing popularity of Poe's works derives from their power to confirm beliefs from which most people have never entirely freed themselves, and which Poe's own past kept alive in him, beliefs that one can be devoured, that the darkness is astir, and that the dead in some form survive and return. Like so many of his crazed narrators, Poe was virtually engulfed by terrors that his own culture couldn't diagnose. After reading Silverman's biography of Poe, one more thing I'm thankful for is Freud.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University. She reviewed a new biography of Edgar Allan Poe by Kenneth Silverman.